Morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 19. Again, that's the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 19. I'll be reading from the King James Version. The lesson is entitled, Gearing Up for Family and Friends Day. Again, that's Mark, chapter 5, verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And now, Brother Norman.
Once again, God has expressed his love, his mercy, and his goodness toward us, allowed us to be able to be among those that are living this day, to be able to come to the house of worship, to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning and visiting with us. We do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. I just want to reiterate some things. Again, if you are subscribing or renewing to the Gospel Advocate, please let us know today so we can be able to get this on in to the Gospel Advocate. So if you are subscribing or renewing, please let us know today. And also on next Sunday, there'll be a Youth Day Planning Committee meeting on next Sunday, so just remember that. As we're gearing up for Family and Friends Day, we want to let you know that every Sunday morning except for March 29th, we're going to be focusing on the family. Aspects of the family, whether you are married or whether you are single. And so we encourage you to pick up a handout. There's a handout of all the topics that will be preached on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and even at the meeting as well. So let's start gearing up. Plan to be here yourself. But also encourage your friends, encourage your enemies, encourage your in-laws and your outlaws to be here for this great occasion. There are going to be things that we're going to be talking about on Sunday morning and Sunday night and even at the meeting that's going to help you and it's going to help them to be what God would have them to be. So let's begin to gear up for this Family and Friends Day, which Friends Day will be March the 29th. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise, eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day, and Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And Lord, now as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and our situations. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, everything that we've fallen short of, Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before everlastingly too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, in the English Standard Version, he says, For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. We all need an education in life. We don't need to know about everything, but we need to know about some things. I couldn't build a doghouse if my life depended on it. And it doesn't matter because I don't have a dog. But I can, however, build a decent sermon that is helpful to people, and that's what's important to me. And so we all need to learn things that are important in life, things that bless people, feed, because this is why God has put you and I here. We are to be a blessing to somebody else. God puts us here to love one another, to help one another, and to build up one another. And when you look at John 13 and verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13, he says, serve one another in love. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, he says, bear one another's burdens. And someone said that when people are serving others, life is no longer meaningless. Serving people gives meaning to life. So it sounds just like Jesus when he came to seek and to save that which is lost. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, his life was far from meaningless because he lived for people, and so must you and I. And so as we're gearing up to our Friends Day in this congregation on March 29th, I call it Boom Sunday. And Boom Sunday means bring one or more. Bring one or more friends and family, because we want to be seeking people and we want to be pointing them to Christ, who can save them from their sins. And so this morning, I just want to give you just a simple plan for our Friends Day and for our future friendship with others. Number one, I encourage us and I suggest to us that we must pray and believe. We must pray and believe. That was a man out of worship service one day, and the preacher was standing at the door and he was shaking his hands, and he grabbed the man by the hand and he pulled him aside and said to him that you need to join the army of the Lord. And so the man replied, he said, I'm already in the army of the Lord. And so the minister began to question him, and he said, well, how come I don't see you except at Christmas and at Easter? And so the man whispered back to this preacher, and he said, because I'm in the Secret Service. Y'all get that? See, what God is looking for is that God is looking for some trustworthy people. He is looking for some dependable people. And so the question comes, are you trustworthy? Are you dependable? Are you a faithful friend? See, some people just cannot be depended on. They can't be depended on to come to church. They can't be depended on to get to work on time. They can't be depended on to do a job or to be a friend. And so does God classify you as a faithful friend? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, he says in the English Standard Version, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Now, what this verse is talking about, is talking about if we as Christians are faithless in certain ways and in certain things, we must remember that God is always faithful. Even if we fail, he doesn't. Even when we are not faithful, he is. Even when we don't show up, he still shows up. Even if we don't pray, he still will listen, because God is a faithful God. Our Lord can be trusted always. Therefore, you and I, we must pray and believe, knowing that God will answer. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open. In James chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown to and tossed by the wind. So, church, if we're going to be gearing up, we're going to have to pray and believe. Believe that God will. He'll answer our prayers. And so when you look at these two scriptures are clear. And that is, we can ask God and he will answer. But we must believe him and we must trust in him. See, we need to believe in our big God. Y'all didn't hear me say little God. Our big God. God is big enough to answer all of our prayers. And we need to believe in our big God. We need to trust him to answer our prayers. Especially when we are praying about something that will bring honor and glory to him. We need to be praying that the people we invite to our worship service, to our lessons on the family, to our Friends Day, to our gospel meeting, and our revival next month, they will come and they will respond in a positive manner. We must pray. We must believe that God will touch their hearts and God will touch ours. Secondly, the second thing is, we must find and bring. We got to pray and believe, but then we're going to have to do some work. We got to find and bring. Brothers and sisters, what will it take to get people in the church? Stirring sermons? Not necessarily. See, good preaching does not hurt, but it's not a cure-all to everything. I think that everything we do in the church should be done the best that we can. I don't think we have to be perfectionists. None of us are perfect. But what I do believe is that we need to do a good job at whatever we do. If you're going to preach, preach with enthusiasm. If you're going to teach, teach with enthusiasm. If you're going to sing, sing with enthusiasm. If you're talking about, oh, how I love Jesus, sing like you love Jesus. Now, everything we do, we got to put our best effort into it. And so if you're going to greet, you greet with a smile. Because you got to understand, we can either draw people or we can let people run away. I believe we need to be drawing people. And we need to be doing a good job, the best job that we can do. Because it's all about pleasing God. But also we need to understand that if people don't know about anything, if they don't know about the church, then how are people going to be drawn to the church? We got to be doing the best we can by not only teaching, but living an example. See, we can teach about Jesus, but do we live for Jesus? People can see a phony anytime. They can tell whether you love Jesus or not. And if you say you love Jesus, they ought to be able to see it. They ought to be able to see it in the life that you and I live. And so what about us? How are we going to get new people in our congregation? Well, in John chapter 1, in John chapter 1 and verse 40 and 42, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what Jesus had said. And he had followed Jesus. And the first thing when you look at that and you read that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is, we have found the Christ. And notice what he did. Not only did he tell him, but he brought him to Jesus. Andrew found his brother, Simon, brought him to Jesus. What is that saying to us this morning? We too must find people and bring them to Jesus Christ. And so where are we going to find these people? Well, that's a good question. Look around. People are everywhere. Every person has contact with somebody. More people than they realize. Just think, you got family members, you got friends, those that you socialize with, fellow workers, neighbors, delivery people, mail carriers, garbage collectors, cashiers, salespeople, people in the bank. And you know, you go to Walmart all the time, people in Walmart. We can find them. They are everywhere. But here's the problem. I don't think that it's the hard part of finding people. But the part is having enough enthusiasm to ask people to come to service. We got to be willing. So Andrew said to Simon, "We have found the Messiah." And I think he was excited about his finding. He was excited about sharing it with his brothers. Are you excited about sharing Jesus with somebody else? If you are sold on something, you will sell it to others. Think about it. When people come to your house, and there are people who come to your house, some of y'all got some vacuum cleaner that was sold by somebody. They were excited about it. Well, okay, I'm one of them. They were excited about their product. They were so excited that they shared it, and they made it exciting to the one who they was trying to sell it to. Jesus need to be exciting to us, that we can be able to sell him to somebody else. And so we got to understand that's the hardest part of getting people to come to church. If you are not bringing people to church, are you sold on Jesus? We ought to be selling Jesus to this dying world. To let them know Jesus is the answer for your problems, for your sins. People need to know that. And I don't know how anyone could not be sold on Jesus if we believe in all of our heart that he is the Savior and that that is an eternal heaven to be gained, then why are we not talking up the church? Why are we not talking up Jesus Christ? We need to find people, bring them to church and to Jesus. But we need to be living the life and setting the example. But then thirdly, we must befriend and listen. We must befriend and listen. In Proverbs 18:24, a man that had friends must show himself friendly. How do we befriend people? One sure way not to befriend people is by being self-centered. People who are all wrapped up in themselves will not win friends and influence people. You got to overcome self to a point where we show interest in others, and it's a hard thing to do for some of us because self is a big hurdle that you and I have to overcome. It takes prayer. It takes concentration. It takes effort. And if you don't work at anything, it won't happen. It takes work. And so here is how not to befriend people. Y'all ready? Don't smile. Oh, look at all the smiles out there. Don't smile. Don't listen to people. Don't act interested in people. Don't look at people. Gripe and complain about everything. Think of yourself only. And another sure way of not to befriend people is acting like you are better than somebody else. That's a sure way not to draw people to Christ and the church. But how do we befriend them? How do we befriend them? Be holy. But don't overdo the acting part. In other words, be real. You're going to have to be real. You can't go around with a mask. You got to take off your mask and be real. There are people who are struggling, and you have to let them know that you are not the only one that's going through some stuff. You have been through some stuff. You got to be real with people. Be yourself, but not your bad self. Be your good self, because we're trying to win people to Jesus Christ. Get out of yourself into others. Speak kind words. In Proverbs 12 and verse 25, he says, an ancient heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Proverbs 15 and verse 23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word. Listen, people in our world, they are hungry. They are hungry for attention. They are hungry for affection. They are hungry for love. And they are hungry for the word. We need to give them. They are hungry for people to show genuine care and love for them. This is a must for you and I. If this church is going to grow. In 3 John 8, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, in other words, to all men, so that we may work together for the truth. Being truly hospitable to others by befriending them is the key to church growth. And it's going to be the key to our family and friends day. So, again, our family and friends day was going to be March 29th. We're going to be focusing on the family all month long. And so what I'm challenging you to do this morning is that we must do whatever we can to reach people for Christ and his church. It's not about us, but it's about him. It's about letting people know that he's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. Strong winds may blow. But you ought to be able to go around and tell the whole world that I found a Savior. And he's sweet. I know. We need to let people know about God's grace and God's mercy. That God's grace and God's mercy has brought us safely through. And we are living this moment. We are testimony. All because of what this man has done for you and I. Listen, we got to pray and believe. We have to find and bring. And we must befriend and listen. Our prayer should be like Paul's prayer. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. What is your desire? Our desire ought to be people being led to Jesus and saved. Because one day, when it's all said and done, we all got to stand before that great God of heaven. We all got to give an account of God, what we have done down here, whether it was good or whether it was bad. If you're here this morning, you're not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3 and verse 16. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life on Calvary. God has done his part. Jesus has done his part. And now all you got to do is do your part. He's left a way. He's left a plan for you and I to be saved. You've heard God's word. Believe it to be true. In Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You got to be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Then you got to be willing to go down in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is a burial. Romans 6, 3 and 4. When you come up out of that water, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Then the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2 and verse 47. What church? The church that he said in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I'll build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What church? The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. What church? The church that he is the savior of. He's the head of. He loved it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 and following. Then you got to live faithfully. Faithfully unto death. Does that mean that since I'm a Christian that all my problems, all my troubles are going to be over? No. You're still going to be faced with some problems. You're still going to be faced with some situations. But now you got somebody on your side that can help you through your problems, through your situations. But you got to be willing to give your life to him. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people think. But you, what you need to be worried about is what the Lord says when you stand before him unprepared to meet him. If you're a Christian and not been living as a Christian should, you know whether you haven't been living right, but God knows. And that's who you're going to have to answer to. If you're here, subject to an invitation, don't put it off. This might be the last time you have up on the face of this earth. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.